Chapter 19. A Wedding. All these events made me seriously ill for several weeks. Because Herbert was abroad, on business for Clerikers, there was nobody to look after me. But Joe had heard about my illness and come to London to take care of me. After I was a little better, he told me about the local news. Miss Havisham had died, leaving all of her fortune to Estella, except for £4,000, which she gave to Matthew Pocket. Orlick had been arrested for stealing money, which he stole from Pumblechook's house. I was glad to see that dear old Joe seemed just the same, but as I got better, he began to think it proper to start calling me Sir again. Then I got up one morning and saw that he had gone. I decided to return to the village to thank him for all his help. Also, I wanted to carry out a plan I had been thinking about for a long time. I wanted to ask Biddy to marry me, and I believed I would be happy with her. I went by coach to the old town, just as I had so many times before, and walked to the iron workshop. But as I came closer, I didn't hear the sound of Joe's hammer. I also noticed fresh white curtains at the windows and bright flowers everywhere. Suddenly, I saw Biddy and Joe standing at the door arm in arm.
"Pip!"
cried Biddy happily, running up to kiss me.
"Pip, it's my wedding day, and I'm married to Joe."
The shock was too much for me. They helped me into the house and let me rest in a chair. They were both so happy that I had, by accident, come to make their day perfect and complete. I was very glad that I had never spoken earlier of my plan to Joe when he was looking after me. "Dear Biddy," I said, "you have married the best husband in the whole world."
"It's not possible to love him more than I do,"
she replied. "And dear Joe, you have married the best wife in the world. She will make you as happy as even you deserve to be, dear good Joe." Joe put his arm over his eyes. "And Joe and Biddy," I continued, "I want to thank you for all you've done for me. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you. Tell me you forgive me for being ungrateful and not being good. And try to think better of me in the future."
"Oh, dear old Pip," said Joe, "God knows we forgive you, if there is anything to forgive."
I left the iron workshop, returned to London, and started a new life working as a clerk for Clerikers, Herbert's company. Soon, I was sent to take charge of the new office in India, while Herbert returned to England to marry his Clara. Herbert and his wife invited me to live with them in India, and we stayed there for many years. In the end, I also became a partner in the company. We worked hard and honestly and made good profits. Although I wrote to them regularly, it was not until 11 years later that I returned to England to see Biddy and Joe again. One evening in December, I gently pushed open the old kitchen door to the house, and there, sitting by the fire next to Joe, in my old place, was Pip. Joe and Biddy had given their son my name, and he even looked a lot like me. They had also had a little daughter, and were the happiest of parents.
"Dear Pip,"
asked Biddy one night quietly after supper,
"have you quite forgotten her? Tell me, as an old friend."
"My dear Biddy, I will never forget her. But that was all a dream from long ago that has passed. I was secretly planning to go alone and revisit Miss Havisham's old house. As for Estella, I had heard that her husband had been very cruel to her. They had separated, and later he had died. This was 2 years ago. Perhaps she had remarried by now. The old house was no longer there. It had been knocked down, and there was nothing left but piles of stones in the garden.
I walked sadly around in the moonlight until suddenly I saw a woman in the shadows. I went closer, and then, "Estella," I cried.
"You recognize me, but I have changed a lot,"
she answered. She was older, but still very beautiful. She had changed, too. I had never before seen soft light in those once proud eyes, or felt a friendly touch from her once cold hand. "How strange, Estella, after so many years we meet by chance exactly where we first met."
"Yes, it's strange. Although the land belongs to me, I haven't been here for years. But tell me, you still live abroad?"
"Yes, I still do. I have a good business in India."
"I've often thought of you. Since my husband died, I have given you a place in my heart."
"You have always had a place in my heart," I answered. There was silence for a few moments.
"I didn't think I would be saying goodbye to you here,"
she said. "It's painful saying goodbye, Estella."
"Last time you said, 'God bless you, God forgive you.' You could say that to me now, now that I understand how much you loved me. I have suffered, and now I am a better person. Please tell me we are friends."
She spoke more eagerly and sincerely than I had ever heard her speak before. "We are friends," I said, and took her hand in mine.
"We will continue to be friends, even when we are apart,"
said Estella. We walked hand in hand, leaving the old garden behind. Just as the morning mist was rising when I first left the iron workshop long ago, so the evening mist was rising now. In the clear moonlight, I saw no shadow of another separation from her.